that.
Okay. You've got nothing else better to do. No. I wonder if it's better for you to stage yours, because then you can see how I'm going through the slides. Just the screen doesn't work for slides, so you won't be able to see them. Or you can just be doing them and you can do the next slide. Let's do it that way. All right. That's all good. And they are loaded, so we can share them.
So welcome everyone to the public meeting of the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. We will start it will take another minute before we actually are really settled down, but we will start momentarily.
Hello, this is Julie Hedlund, who just joined.
Hi, Julie. This is Yap.
It's Yap. Welcome, Yap. You're always with us in spirit, if not in person. Is there anyone else on the phone? Okay, we're just about to get started, Yap, and the Adobe Connect room is open. The slides are in Adobe Connect, so if you want to go there too.
Yeah, I just did. I'll call on mute for the time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Yap.
So welcome everyone. At this public meeting, we will go through the recent activities of the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and we will try to go through the material we have in an as effective way as possible, so we can give the ability for you in the room and online to give feedback and ask us questions. My name is Patrik Fältström. I'm chair of the Security and Stability Committee. So what we're going to do today is to talk a little bit about SAC in general. We will present the latest report, SAC 51, that is on the non-consent agenda of the board tomorrow. We will have a quick look at the membership annual review process, and then on the ongoing work we are doing at the moment on measuring outcomes. Next slide, please. The Security and Stability Advisory Committee was formed about 10 years ago, and it provided guidance to we are an advisory committee to the board, but the reports we write are guidance to the whole ICANN community or internet community at large. It is part of the task of the people that write the report of ESSAC to also decide who it targets. And I got quite a large number of questions this week asking, who do your reports target? My response to that was that I've seen that the more precise our target is expressed in the report, and the more the people writing the report think about the target, the more happy people are when they read it, because they recognize themselves, oh, this is something I should do. But we'll talk a little bit about that. Next slide, please. The role of the Security and Stability Advisory Committee is to, as I said, advise ICANN and the board on various matters that has to do with the domain name system and other kind of related security and stability things. Next, please. We have around 35 members. The reason why this is a little bit floating at the moment is that we have some members which are outgoing and some which are incoming. Some are at the moment guests because we are waiting for formal acceptance by ICANN board. We have done some rotation of members in the form of outgoing and incoming members. We last year changed the bylaws so that members are appointed on 3-year terms. That meant that we, to start with in 2010, appointed the existing members for 1, 2, and 3-year terms so that we each year review 1/3 of the ESSAC memberships. Next, please. The various documents that we published recently are documents number 47 to 51. ESSAC produced between 4 and what I would think is the theoretical maximum 8 reports a year. This means that we, for example, cannot respond to all open consultations in ICANN. Instead, we have to prioritize what we are spending our time on. If we look at the various different classes of the reports, if we look at this list, we see that 47 and 48 are comments that ESSAC have on open consultational documents produced in other parts of ICANN, while 49 and 51 are documents that is the result of sort of issues that ESSAC found ourselves, and 50 is the result of an explicit question that we got from the Government Advisory Committee, GAC. Next, please. What we are doing at the moment is that we are working on, we are participating in the working group on internationalized registration data. That group has their final report out for open comments at the moment. I encourage all of you that think that you might have comments to please have a look at this and send in comments. We have a membership committee that is a standing committee where we are reviewing applications for people that want to apply for membership in ESSAC. It also keeps track of the skill set that ESSAC have as a whole to ensure that we have the knowledge enough to cover all the various areas that is needed for us to be able to do our work. We just started to look at .less domain names, which have to do with the use of just the top-level domain in various applications and URIs, something that, of course, works in the DNS, but in reality, it doesn't really work so well, we think, but we don't really know, and this is why we have just initiated work on that.
This is Julie Headland, who just joined on the phone.
This is Mark Costers.
Hi, Mark. Welcome. We're just getting started. We're on the first set of slides, the overview slides, if you're following in Adobe Connect or separately. Thanks.
We also we wrote this report on blocking. That was a question from GAC. We are continuing to look at various different kind of blocking activities. We're looking at repudiation system and specifically what the operational impact is if we have repudiation and blocking systems in conjunction with the DNSSEC. It's also the case that we are looking already at potential continuation of the WHOIS report that we'll get a little bit more information about shortly. So the key messages from SAC 50 on blocking is that anyone that considered do some kind of blocking must look at the harm the blocking might have. We do acknowledge that blocking is happening often, for example, in the antivirus software that people have on their laptops, in enterprise firewalls, etc. And one of the things that we are looking at, or one of the things that we are talking about, is the specific difference of whether the blocking is something that impacts users inside or outside the policy domain of whoever is asking for the blocking. We also say that all technical approaches to DNS blocking will have impact on the security and stability of users and applications. It's a short 2-page document, so I encourage you to read it. It's very easy to read. Next, please. It's also, by the way, translated to all 6 languages. that we're using in ICANN. SAC 51 on WHOIS include a number of recommendations that we ask the ICANN community to do. And WHOIS is something that ESSAC and other organizations already have written quite a large number of reports on. But we felt that we need to write sort of a compilation of all of those other recommendations that have existed historically, because we don't see anything really has happened, even though those reports have been written. So this time we very explicitly ask the community to adopt a terminology, to evaluate and adopt other kind of protocols, etc., etc. The details of this is something that we hope will end up being board resolutions tomorrow, and the final text of the board resolution we know when the resolution is accepted. Next, please. No, we can jump over here. So. Another thing that we participate in is that we have, from ESSAC, we asked for removal of one of the first bullet points of our charter, which included discussions on a security framework for the internet, which, from our perspective, which was a little bit too broad, honestly. We cannot be responsible for everything that is happening. So but when we asked for that, ICANN board, together with us and ESSAC, understood that we need to do something. We cannot just remove this text. We need to try to understand what the actual impact is. So the ICANN Board Governance Committee decided to establish a DNS security framework working group that is very short term, will have a lifetime of approximately 12 months, and it will be launched shortly. The charter and membership drafting of this committee is done. It has a defined lifetime, as I said, although the oversight task is something that might be ongoing. We will probably see more about this also after the upcoming board meetings, where the details will of course be ratified in the board decisions. Next, please. Anyone that have any questions on this generic overview which I just gave? If not, let's go into the first specific topic. So we have a membership committee or let me take a step back. In the ESSAC, when we are... Leave it there. No, leave it. That's fine. So, for the people that are online, Julie try to move back and forth, and like I see the screen, so Julie, you can do whatever you want. I take care of this. The way we do the work in ESSAC is that we have specific tasks that we are looking at. We have seen that we are more effective if we try to do the work in a project basis. And each one of those projects start, they have a timeline, and then we try to finish. We run them as projects. We call each one of those projects work parties. One of them is the membership committee. The membership committee has three non-voting members. It's me as chair, Ram Mohan to my right, which is the liaison we have to the board, and Jim Galvin, which is vice chair of ESSAC. Jim is also chair of the membership committee. Then we have five voting members from the committee, and at the moment it's Jeff Bedser, David Conrad, Zhao Dong Li, Wanda Skarzeni, and Doran Shikmoni. Next, please. As you saw earlier, we had 31st of December 2011, 34 members, and we have done some rotation this year. Next, please. You can see on this slide that we have tried to come up with some kind of mechanism of determining whether members have been active or not. We encourage people to be active. On the other hand, we also do acknowledge that just because we want to have members with diverse skill sets and the fact that we only produce maybe down to four reports a year, that it might be the case that none of the four reports we have been working on is within the specific skill set of certain members. So it might be the case that certain members have not been able to be so active for various reasons, but we are still keeping track of activity that the whole of ESSAC has, as I said earlier, has the skill set that we need, and we do a review every year. Next, please. After we have gone through the review and decided what members should be reappointed and what new members we should accept, we are passing all of those appointments to the ICANN board and thank the ones for departing. Next, please. The new member process that we're using allows any individual to approach any ESSAC members or support staff and apply for membership. You will be the applicants will be asked to do an interview and send in information why they believe that they fit on ESSAC, etc. And then the membership is doing their job. After the membership committee is accepting it, it goes to all of ESSAC and then it goes to the board. Next, please. So we are. Given that we, this year, so far in this calendar year, we have gone through appointment of the leadership, of liaisons, and the first real review according to these rules in the membership committee, we do see that the actual ESSAC procedures, which is what we are following, needs to be updated. So the next couple of months, before we go into the next calendar year, where we are doing reappointments of the chair and vice chairs and the liaisons and membership committee, etc., before we start with that, our goal is to have the ESSAC procedures updated. Next, please. Any questions on that? We do not have a fixed number of members of ESSAC. That said, the membership committee, the ESSAC at the moment do have the view that 35 members is approximately what we need. But we are not locked to have 35 members. We can go down and we can go up. But at the moment, we are a little bit careful with adding members if it's not the case that some other members are departing. If there are no questions, we go to the next. The next thing we would like to talk a little bit more in detail is SAC 51, the report on who is. Steve?
Thank you. Thank you, Patrick. My name is Steve Shen. I'm a staff support for this work party and present on behalf of the work party. So the goal of there are three goals for this report. The first goal is to clarify the taxonomy associated with WHOIS. So the word WHOIS in the ICANN context is kind of a loaded term. Different people use the term to mean different things in discussion. And it's unclear what they mean, so we clarify the taxonomy here. And second is we make a few observations in light of that taxonomy and offer a set of recommendations aimed at the improving WHOIS. Most of these recommendations are not new. They have been mentioned in the various ESSAC advisories over the past 10 years on WHOIS. Next slide. So we separate the term WHOIS into three terms. So the first term is called domain name registration data. So this refers to the information that registrants provide when registering a domain name. And registrars and registries collect at the time of registration. A subset of this information is made available to the public for display, usually in the WHOIS services. Next slide. The next term is, we call it domain name registration data access protocol. So we add the access protocol. It refers to the elements of a standard communication exchange, queries and responses that make access to registration data possible. So one example of that protocol is the port 43 WHOIS protocol as specified by RFC 3912. There are other protocols, for example, the IRIS protocol, Next slide, please. So the last term we have is called the Domain Name Registration Data Directory Service. It refers to the services offered by registries and registrars to provide access of the domain name registration data. So what essentially, we are breaking one term, WHOIS, into three. We're separating the data, the protocol, and the service. So when people talk about, many times people talk about WHOIS, they were thinking a conceptual database, or sometimes refers to the data. But this would make further, you know, clear distinctions to make sure, you know, what people are talking about when they mention the term WHOIS. On that, we offer a few observations. Next slide. The first observation is the use of ambiguous terminology has for many years inhibited productive discussion of domain name registration data related issues and pursued consensus. Right, so part of the, some of the problems are harder to solve. So for example, you know, the data problem, you know, there are a lot of important policy issues to be discussed, but that doesn't have to be mixed with protocol issues or service issues. So we're trying to disambiguate those. And the second observation is there's currently no uniform data model that exists for the registration data. This complicates data submission, handling, exchange, and access. So what we are seeing here is there's no uniform, for example, the output format. There's no consistent data model. You know, different registrars do it differently, and sometimes this complicates data submission, handling, and exchange. So that's what we meant here. The next observation is the directory service implemented using the WHOIS protocol today do not support character sets other than US ASCII in a standard manner. So the keyword here is a standard manner. The RFC 3912 is kind of absent on encodings. So it lacks a mechanism to indicate the encoding of the data being sent, therefore cannot support internationalized data consistently. A little more on this point, in absence of the protocol specification, various implementers have find their own ways of how to handle, you know, internationalized registration data that could lead inconsistent user experience. And final observation is the current directory services generally offer public and largely anonymous access to the registration data, making it difficult to satisfy a evolving range of legitimate needs for access for different granularities of data. So there may be evolving needs, for example, in some communities to have finer granularity of that data access. But the current system could not accommodate that. So with those four observations in mind, we make three recommendations in SAC 51. The first recommendation is the ICANN community should adopt the terminology outlined in this report in documents, discussions, and in events. Next slide. The second recommendation is we encourage the community to evaluate and adopt a replacement registration data access protocol that supports internationalized registration data, as well as addressing the relevant recommendations in SAC 327 and SAC 33. Those are some of the previous ASAC documents that touches on this issue. So we're merely, you know, kind of restating the conclusions they have before. And the third recommendation is the ICANN community should develop a uniform and standard framework for accessing the registration data that would provide mechanisms to define and implement to enable a range type of verification methods, credential service, and access control capacities. So what I want to point out here is to establishing a framework to provide capability, you know, in the underlying system to be able to handle should these kind of services be deemed desirable, you know, through the policy process. So that's the key distinction here. That's the third recommendation. And with that, I'd like to open up for questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Anyone have any questions on this report? Anyone online that have any questions? In that case, let's move along. So the next thing we're going to talk about is So the next thing we will go through is the work that we are working on regarding measuring ESSAC work impact. And Ram, please, over to you.
Thank you. So the focus of this work party inside of the ESSAC is the goal is very simple. We want to improve ESSAC. We want to become better. And from our perspective, you cannot really improve if you don't measure what you're doing. So that's a real goal. Next slide, please. The work party members include KC Claffey, Vanda Scardazzini, Dave Piscatello, as well as Steve Sheng from the staff. Next slide, please. So the real question is, what is the intended effect? Focus is whether the work that ESSAC is doing, you know, does it have? We're providing advice. We have ESSAC is an advisory committee. It consists of experts drawn from several parts of the world, and these experts come together on a voluntary basis. They look at topics and they provide specific advice on those topics. The question is whether that advice has any impact. And whether it's being used in some way by the various SOs and ACs in the ICANN community, as well as, you know, understanding what the board of directors is doing with it. The next slide. So if you look at the ESSAC reports, we have published 51 reports so far. The most current report is SAC 51. So if you classify those reports by the major areas of focus, you'll see what's up on the screen. And one of the clear takeaways from this is that the ESSAC scope of activities and the focus is quite broad and covers more or less the entire gamut of what ICANN itself is focused on and is working on, more often in the technology and technical areas than necessarily in the policy areas. Although there is no restriction that ESSAC cannot get into the policy areas, it tends generally not to. There are plenty of policy-making bodies and policy-making working groups inside of ICANN, as many of you will know. Next slide, please. This slide here shows you the most downloaded ESSAC reports. So we've started to keep track of this as a first basic measure of usability or not even usability, of applicability. What reports are popular, if you will? What reports are most downloaded? Now, I'll make a couple of observations. Merely the fact that a report is downloaded does not mean that it's a good or it's actually useful, or it's being used even, right? So with those observations in mind, this is still just a baseline, but this is a set of metrics that we've started to measure. The next slide. The next slide talks a little bit about some of the board outcomes that have resulted from ESSAC work. One of the things in the last, I guess, 2.5 years since I have been appointed as liaison to the board that I have been focused on, and this is reflective of what the ESSAC's membership itself has tried to do, is to take the reports and the recommendations that come out, and for those that have specific applicability, to convert them into board resolutions that then result in tasking for staff or other work for the rest of the community. And what you see on screen shows you some of the outcomes there. On the next slide, we talk a little bit about what are the metrics that ESSAC is currently considering adopting in measuring its own outcomes. The first is fairly straightforward. ESSAC has a charter. ESSAC has reports. The reports fall into various categories, as you saw earlier. And the question is, can you trace from the charter of ESSAC, can you trace the actual output of ESSAC? And so that's what the first suggested metric is, to along with the document categories, to actually show the tracing of where each of those categories are enabled, if you will, in the charter of ESSAC. So there's a mapping from one to the other. The second suggested metric is to survey the various constituencies, the various supporting organizations, committees, at least a year, and determine if and how those organizations used our papers to build any of their documents. So that's kind of an explicit ask of these various SOs and ACs. In parallel, there's some talk that is going around inside of ESSAC as to whether we should be looking at some automated mechanisms to see if the reports that we publish are cited in the work that the SOs and the ACs are doing. But that's still in a preliminary discussion stage. On the next slide, the third metric that we're looking at is to look at the download statistics. You already saw a rudimentary measure of that on an earlier slide. But in addition to that, to also look at the Google link statistics for each document. Again, the goal is if a report is of use and is of value, then one would assume that other places that are credible would link to those reports, not just cited, but also linked to it. And the last is also a measure that you've already seen an example of, the number of substantive board resolutions and staff actions that arise from staff reports, from ESSAC reports. So one thing I will note there is not every ESSAC report actually results in board actions, and nor should it. Some of the ESSAC reports are in response to requests that come specifically from an AC or an SO. We recently provided some response to the GAC on some requests that they had. That, by itself, we've spoken to folks in the GAC, and informal responses from them, anecdotal responses from the GAC, have been that they found our responses useful. But we don't really yet have a way to measure those anecdotal things. That's why we're thinking of a survey. The second thing, which is that in addition to the actual reports, the SAC 51, SAC 47, SAC 48, et cetera, that we put out, we also every so often have relatively more informal notes that go out. And at this point, we're not looking to track those specifically. The last thing that we wanted to present to you is some upcoming changes to all ESSAC publications. The first is a way for the community to provide feedback. It's a fairly straightforward and well-known web, at least popularity, if you will, or usefulness mechanism, and we're looking to add that to every single ESSAC report that will get published going forward. The second thing is to add a short survey at the end of each and every report to simply say, was this useful? If so, where? What could we do to improve? And to provide an email address where communications could continue on this area. So that's really what we're looking to do. The goal here is to figure out, if you go to the next slide, the goal here is to figure out whether the work that we're doing has long-term lingering value and impact. We're trying to make sure that we don't spend so much time on measuring that we forget doing the real work that we are set up to do. So there's a little bit of a balance here, but we really have not, until now, really focused on seeing whether what we're doing has much value. With a body of work that's out there, and certainly, as Patrick had shown earlier, a continuing set of work that we're going to be doing, it seems to be an appropriate time to have something that's lightweight, but at the same time can, over time, demonstrate whether or not what we're doing is in the right direction, and to take that feedback and to improve what we're doing. So that's really where we are. Any questions? There's a question there from the audience.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Basim Azedan. I am from Jordan, from the CCTLD in Jordan.jo. We have a newly established security section. And, I'm not that expert in security, but you have SAC 40 for recommendation to secure the DNS. I was thinking, do you have a SAC report on securing the laptops of the people working with the DNS? You see, I heard today in the CNN there was a diplomatic meeting somewhere, and all the passwords were really cracked from that meeting. So I was thinking, we come here at the ICANN meeting, we all connect through the wireless, and then we go home. Some of us are DNS admins, and there is something now Trojan in your PC or laptop, or your password is cracked. So are you thinking of issuing a report on especially how to secure your laptop, especially for people working in the DNS, so that when they come back, they will be secured?
That's a good suggestion, and it's certainly something that we can take into the SAC now as input coming straight from you in the community, and asking inside of SAC whether there's interest in continuing to go forward with this. I mean, there are some established guidelines. We could certainly publish links to that. In general, you'll find that if there is already an established body of work, you will find that we're more likely to point to that body of work and say, here are good practices, here are the best practices. So perhaps we could do that. If there is something new that we think of, then we could put our own report. Otherwise, it's more likely that we would simply link to something that's already out there. The ICANN has its own security staff as well on the technology side, and probably the first thing we might end up doing, Patrick, might be to go talk to them and see if there is something they could do and put up directly on the ICANN website. But thank you for the suggestion.
Because you see, I'm not my background is mainly in as a Microsoft system engineer, but not in network that much. So I can't analyze the packets that much. But I looked at the log of my personal firewall yesterday, and there were a lot of dropped packets from internal other IPs. I was at Le Madis hotel, so I couldn't really analyze it, but the ICANN meeting itself must bring some kind of intrusion detection with them, so they can secure the Wi-Fi for other wireless for others.
So this only partly answers your question, but it's sort of one of my pet peeves, and I'd like to mention it again. ICANN does actually provide an encrypted version of the wireless, WPA encrypted on your badge. It's got your, the password and stuff. And I've noticed especially at ICANN meetings, almost nobody uses it. And if you sort of, if you look at the network traffic, there's a lot of very interesting information that goes back and forth that really should be secured. So, you know, this is just a general note for people. Please, please, please use the encrypted version of the network.
Are there any other questions from the audience on measuring outcomes?
This is Andrew Sullivan. Just to follow up on what Warren said, if the concern is that there's a lot of traffic that is going across that, why isn't ESSAC talking about the security and stability implications of the wireless network design here? Because one possibility, of course, would be to shut off the unencrypted network. I mean, nobody has a system that doesn't do that anymore.
Thank you very much for the input, Andrew.
Other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Back to you, Patrick.
Thank you very much. And with that, we actually have presented all the issues that, from our point of view, we felt you and the community could be interested in that we have been working on since the last meeting. So this is the opportunity for all of you to bring up any kind of topics whatsoever with us. I have several ESSAC members both here at the table but also out in the audience. So I hope that we actually can answer most of your questions. So anything?
Hello. I'm Olivier Muron. I'm with France Telecom. I have a question about the dotless domain name that you mentioned among the lists of the work. I wanted to know more about the scope of the work and when do you expect to report on this problem?
So the scope of the work is to look at the operational deployment in the world. How does it work in various applications, various protocols with the dotless domain? I think where we are at the moment is that all of us know that if you look up an A record with just the top level domain in the DNS protocol, you will of course get a response. On the other hand, we know that if you type in just a domain name in most web browsers, they do all different kind of things from just passing the token to a search engine or adding www and com to that domain before they do a DNS query to issuing a multicast DNS query on the local network for the name with the added .local, which means that what we are worried about and hear rumors about is that if one type in just a domain, that domain name will not even hit the DNS. So, we understand that we should look at this because there is so much talking going on, and the goal is to have a result. The timeline and goal is that we should have something to say before the new GTLD process opens in January. And when I say that we should say something, this is one area where we find in ESSAC ourselves that it's talked so much about this, both that it should work and should not work. So we feel that we need to look at this and actually say something, whether it works or not. Any other questions? Any other topics that people from ESSAC would like to bring up that we have forgotten in the preparation of this meeting? Anything that people online would like to bring up? If not, I would like to thank you all for participating, and I hope that you continue to work with us, and if you, in a few hours or a few days or a few weeks, come up with new questions, don't hesitate sending them to us. And we will do the best to include that in the work we're doing. Thank you very much for coming, and I hereby close the meeting.
And for those who are interested, I just want to let you know that following this session, in a little more than 10 minutes, is the public session of the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group. And if you're at all interested, I urge you to attend because we do have a draft final document out for public comment. And we are very interested in getting comments. So the purpose of this next session is to summarize the main points of the report and to encourage comments here at this meeting. So that is 10 o'clock in this room. Thank you.